Okay, welcome everyone. Apologies for a little bit of a delayed start. We had a little technical issue, but we've got it all resolved now. It's good to see everyone. Thank you for joining us on a Saturday afternoon. It's beautiful outside, so we appreciate your commitment. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order, and we will start with the roll call. So, Adrian? Not here yet? Okay, we'll come back to you. Mike?
Here.
Great, thank you. Steve?
Here.
Great. Jonathan? Jonathan, okay, Wei-Ling?
Here, and I'm gonna be off camera for the first 10 minutes or so.
Okay, thank you. Jason?
Here.
Thank you. Dwayne? No Dwayne? Okay, and Nora? Are you with us today, Nora? Not yet, okay. So we're gonna go ahead and get started. We will start with our meeting norms. So, oh, and let me thank in advance, David Smith is going to be running the meeting behind the scenes today. So thank you, David, in advance.
Thank you. Here's the meeting norms.
Thank you.
Everybody see that okay?
Yes, thank you. So I made a few revisions to the meeting norms for today. I'm gonna go ahead and read these quickly. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business. Oh, actually, that's not the right version. Let's go back. Here we go. The board recognizes the importance of all stakeholder voices at OSA. Collaboration and communication are essential to the viability of our school. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. Comment on non-agenda items may be made at the beginning of the meeting. After hearing a report, members of the public have the opportunity to offer comments in a designated time prior to the board discussion on that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. Please use the raise hand function to make public comment. If you cannot use the raise hand function, you can sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so keeping the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. You do not need to wait for public comment to be called to sign up, and may sign up for public comment during the presentation of the report or at any time prior. Public comment will be capped at 3 minutes per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. The board cannot respond to public comment on non-agenda items. This does not mean the board is not listening. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. We strive to be a learning community that learns from each other. We're also a community comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We recognize that all voices are not treated equally in our society, but aim to value and respect all voices equally in this forum. We may have different ideas of how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe place for a variety of opinions. Finally, we address each other in a respectful manner to foster collaboration, build community, and to model good citizenship for our students. For clarification on the recording, board members and members of the public should please state their names prior to speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio is posted on the school website. And I think I neglected to say that I am here, Josefina Alvarado Mena, for the board attendance. So we're gonna go to public comment on non-agenda items. And we see we have several people that are in the chat. So we will go in the order. So we'll have Chris Bradburn first.
I need to speak on draft public presentation. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. Jeremy Taylor?
Thank you. I think most of you know me, Jeremy Taylor. I'm an 18-year OSA teacher, member of the COSATS bargaining team. I know you're meeting in a little while to discuss our compensation proposal. And it was made clear in our session this week that nothing could be agreed to until they could meet with the board. So this was a good reminder for us that we're actually bargaining with you ultimately. But since there are no board members who attend bargaining, you're essentially there through your hired representative, attorney Jeff Sloan. So Mr. Sloan made a rather unusual move this week. And since I have to assume he's acting at your direction, I wanted to bring my confusion here. In our limited window of time to bargain this week, Mr. Sloan chose to use about a third of our time to reintroduce an article that had been already declared at temporary impasse. The article is only a few sentences long, and basically it protects COSATS in case of a change of management. Like most other contracts I'm aware of, it simply states that if someone else acquires OSA, they still have to honor OSA's agreement with us. Mr. Sloan was insistent that we drop this provision and allow this board the power to dissolve COSATS unilaterally at some future point if it serves a decision they want to make to merge with another school, join a charter management organization, et cetera. Nothing in our proposal actually prevents those types of decisions. It just requires that if such a move would terminate the contract that both parties negotiated in good faith, it would require both parties to agree. I still don't know why this was brought up this week, since we'd already made it clear we can't agree to that. Mr. Sloan didn't propose any adjustments to OSA's position, but was just hoping that with some more discussion that we'd reconsider our position. This is just one example of why we sometimes feel there are attempts to delay progress. So I'm left with a couple of questions. One, is Mr. Sloan correctly representing your position that the board should have unilateral power to go back on our contract after it is signed? Also, since both sides had already made their positions clear in previous bargaining, is this an appropriate use of time during the week's bargaining session, keeping in mind that the vast majority of articles COSATS has proposed still remains unfinished? Several have not even been responded to yet months later. It is difficult during bargaining sessions like this to forget that Mr. Sloan and his assistant are the only people in the room out of about a dozen of us that are being paid by the hour to be there. And I believe they're being paid out of OSA's budget. I know you can't answer these questions today, so I would like to reiterate our previous request to have a standing agenda item for a COSATS report, just as you do for other stakeholders. Previous board leadership said no to this, but I'd like the new board to reconsider. In any case, I hope to hear back in some capacity, either in writing or perhaps at a separate Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Karen Morfin.
Hi, my name is Karen Morfin. I'm here to propose two things. Is one is that back in February 2020, there were some proposed revisions to the bylaws. I would really like the board to consider scrapping those, as those haven't been approved there and they haven't made any motions on them. But I also want to reiterate that those proposed amendments actually create discriminatory practices in which our parent members are actually treated disrespectfully, not only in the ways of having different terms, but also in the way that they have been treated this past year, even though they were regular members as approved by our current bylaws. So that's one thing. Second thing, I wanna also raise a point that I went back and actually listened to all the three recordings, and there was only hesitation when one of the parent members was actually voted for. There was no hesitation when a parent of our community was voted for as a recommendation of this board. That again brings discriminatory practices. We are not second class citizens. Our parent community is very well educated, and just as any other member on this board should have equal voice, equal voting, and equal treatment if they're sitting on that board. We're all here as a community trying to better our school, trying to serve our students, and we all deserve equal rights. Secondly, I would like to also state, as in previous meetings, that last meeting was very clear that we were concerned about spending money on our legal fees. When Josefina raised the question about the legality of what was being done, one of the board members stated that other board members couldn't contact legal team because the legal team was actually paid by with OSA funding, funding basically. However, we have had no hesitation in the past 2 years to spend a ridiculous amount of money on bargaining for and preventing COSAS to move to a contract. So I would really like for this board to consider to actually add legal expenses as a detailed line on the audit report next year, because we as a community have the right to know how much legal fees are being spent in a yearly basis. And I do believe that either the finance committee or the audit committee, if there is one in this board, actually reviews the legal expenses and how they have been actually spent in the past 2 years, since there has been no movement on the COSAS bargaining team. I also want to remind everyone here in the community that COSAS is representing themselves. These persons have tremendous burden on their end to actually spend what should be their free time trying to come up with ideas to bargain for themselves. However, we are using our money, and I don't think that's the purpose of our donations to actually be used against the teachers. And with that, I conclude my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Maury?
Hey, everyone. Thank you for everyone sacrificing Saturday time to be here. Two things. One is I actually want to question the competence of Mr. Sloan at this point, and debating some very standard labor language and accepted contracts in schools. And there really is, it. Every one of us should feel badly that this is going on this long. And I feel like I'm just speaking for many in the community that are beginning to look at this very closely. So I just want to, you know, ask that perhaps there's a board representative in that bargaining session to see for yourselves how this individual is leading your negotiations. The second thing I just wanted to bring up is, I don't see it on the agenda, so my understanding is there are two amazing alumni candidates for the board of directors, and I just want to say I hope that the board can consider and vote on those as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mike Jung?
Thank you. I just wanted to refer back to the last board meeting. I'm glad to see that the new board chair is in place and carrying out her duties, and that the will of the community was heeded in that way. I am still concerned about the fact that when the previous board chair resigned her position, that two board members decided to step in and basically claim executive power and start making decisions as the board without involving or informing the other board members. I was really also struck by the fact that one particular board member claimed a position as an officer on the board on the basis of having chaired a committee, which is not how that has ever functioned at any other board that I've ever attended meetings for or been on. And this will not be the last time that there's a leadership change on the board. It's not the last time where, you know, a board chair will vacate a position. That is going to happen again. And if this particular very strange instance of a small percentage of the board seizing power happens once, it has happened once, that can also happen again. So it's a loophole I'd like to see closed. You know, I'm not sure if loophole is the right word. It's an ambiguity, I think, that should be clarified and codified so that it doesn't happen again, because I think that without any doubt and without any qualifications, it should never happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone that made public comment. We're going to move on to the next agenda item. I want to check and see if Nora is with us. We do have the student board report on our agenda. Don't think Nora is here.
I don't see her.
Don't see her either. So we miss her, but understand as a senior that she also has just senior duties. So want to congratulate her on that, as well as all of the other graduating seniors And also the eighth graders that are being promoted to high school this week. Congratulations to everyone. Mike?
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. I echo that and would love to, if Nora's able to join at some point before we go to closed session, I'd love to hear from her if the agenda allows.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. If Nora joins us, we will make time on the agenda for her to give her report before we go into closed session. So we'll make that adjustment on the agenda. So moving right along, the next item is the board chair report on community building. I wanted to take an opportunity on this agenda to address some of what happened at the last board meeting, as well as what's happened moving forward. And so let me just start by saying that at the last board meeting, I think we reached a tipping point within our OSA community. And we had an enormous outpouring from different community stakeholder groups about the need for change at OSA, change in leadership. And we were able to get through a very challenging but also courageous conversation. And we made a leadership change. And there has been a few more changes since that time. We had another board member who resigned from the board, Melissa. We also have had the opportunity to move the board forward in a lot of ways. I wanted to share that over the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to join several different meetings at OSA. I was able to join the art staff meeting, the academic staff meeting, the leadership class at OSA's meeting, as well as the OSA leadership team meeting. I'm looking forward to, and I also joined the APT board meeting. And I'm looking forward to meeting with the students of color this Monday afternoon. And in all of those conversations, I was very inspired and hopeful by the reception that I received, and also brought a message across all of those conversations. And the message is simply that we are all part of the solution, the solutions here within this community, and all of the stakeholder groups are incredibly important to our community, and we cannot create a sustainable, viable school without engaging all of the stakeholders. And so moving forward, I think we will have a different level of engagement. I've spoken with several board members, and everyone has expressed, I think, an interest and a commitment to engaging in additional ways moving forward. And to that end, we will be creating some board office hours. I will invite the rest of the board members to sign up to create some space where we can actually have conversations. So that's one new vehicle that we will be setting up. In addition to that, we will be doing regular meetings with the stakeholder groups that I just referenced. I am committing to joining those stakeholder groups, hopefully on a quarterly basis, minimally, and I will invite other board members to join me in those conversations so we can engage in an ongoing dialogue about the things that we care about within this community and how to operationalize our big vision for the school. So I wanted to share that with the community and with my fellow board members in terms of, you know, just some examples of concretely how we will move forward. I think all of that will accelerate our work at the board level, and we will move from planning to operationalizing the solutions that we really need to be able to move us forward. I will be meeting, we had one of our board members, Steve, met with the Alumni Association. I'm also very interested in meeting with the Alumni Association. I want to acknowledge that the board received a letter from the Alumni Association with two very, very strong candidates for consideration for the board of OSA. And we will be taking those up So I wanted to acknowledge that and thank the alumni community also for their ongoing and continued support and advocacy of OSA. Couple of other things that are happening. We will be looking at all of the board committees. One of the committees we will be looking at, and there's already been some adjustment to board committees, we will be looking at the governance committee. And so I want to hear from other board members that are interested in serving on the governance committee. I will volunteer to serve on the governance committee going forward. I think Steve is on the governance committee now. Dwayne is on the governance committee as well. And so we'll ask other board members that are interested to please participate in that committee. I would like us to create a small group, an ad hoc committee to look at our legal services across all of the legal services to OSA. Dwayne has volunteered to lead that particular ad hoc committee, but also want to ask other board members to volunteer to do that kind of review as we think about how to move forward. And finally, one change to our board meetings that I'd like to make is I would like to do a land acknowledgement at the beginning of every board meeting. But rather than just create that land acknowledgement myself, we are on Ohlone land. I wanted to ask this community if anyone is interested in helping to create that land acknowledgement for this forum, to send me an email. I'd love to work with you to help create that kind of really important statement for our larger community. So that's my report. I think we'll take public comment, and then I'd like to hear, give the other board members an opportunity to comment, respond to my report. So public comment, let's see. I see Melinda, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Melinda De Jesus. I am the co-chair of APT this year. I just raised my hand because I would like to help with the land acknowledgement. But I also just want to say, I really appreciate the manner in which you just began this meeting. This community really needs a lot of healing, and we need to do a lot more listening, need to see a lot more action in terms of very urgent items regarding equity and diversity, justice in this community. So I really appreciate your leadership here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Belinda. Karen, you have your public comment.
Yes, I also want to say thank you, Josefina. I think, it was lovely meeting with you at the APT board. And I think this is what we need for healing, is to actually, unite, every opinion and in the use to make a better school. I also want to say that I also want to thank Mike Barr for staying, and Stephen Borg and Dwayne, although I don't see him here, because it's very easy to lead a school when the community is absent. But it's very hard to lead it when, there is a vocal community, and you guys have led in both. Mike, you've been with us many years, and you're here, that really speaks volumes of you as board members and the intentions with OSA. So I want to appreciate the shift in culture, but I also want to thank those that are here that are, willing to put the work to make this a better place an inclusive place for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. David?
Thanks for taking the time. I'm actually speaking now as a parent at OSA. Josefina, I'm really also want to acknowledge your tone and demeanor in already how you've started the meeting and the initiative, as you said in your report, on meeting with lots of different stakeholders and the value that you place on that. And I think that's a real statement of showing the importance of community. And I think, as you sort of mentioned also, that I think OSA will only succeed and move forward if we work as a community. And so your efforts around that, I just want to really acknowledge. And I'm inspired to look into the future with your help. So thank you.
Thank you for that, David. Any other public comment? No. Okay, let's go to board comment.
Yes, Josephine, Mike?
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Sorry, Steve. I didn't use the electronic hand thing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
Really appreciate the comments today, especially the parent comment that really shows a sense of healing and hospitality. So I appreciate that. And I also appreciate Josefina spending time with me about a week or so ago, and we had a real good, honest conversation, and I appreciate that. Just one thing I want to point out, Josefina, as we look at committees and forming new committees, we do have protocols in the bylaws section 4 in terms of what we need to do to set those up. So we just probably should follow those norms as we set those committees up.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Mike?
Steve, I think my question was sort of layered in there, which I was trying to remember. I feel it's the June meeting or the July meeting, sometime June, July, August, where we sort of confirm the committees for the upcoming year. There's Josefina referenced a couple ad hoc committees. We just need to remind ourselves that certain committees are subject to Brown Act requirements. Ad hoc committees are not. Finance committees are required committees. So I look forward to working with you to get clarity around that. I too share tremendous optimism for the future of the organization. Josefina and I had a chance to chat several times since the last board meeting. I had a chance to chat with others as well. We talked about meeting norms and safety and respect, and I can't let go of acknowledge that I saw some very troubling things at the end of the last meeting when one of our former board members was sharing her story about her immigrant parents. I saw a student raise both middle fingers, and I saw a member of the APT throw a slashing gesture while she was speaking. And I hope we can put any type of that behavior behind us, because to me, it's unacceptable. It violates our norms of being respectful and being a safe place. I'm not going to call anybody out by name. I'm just going to acknowledge that I hope that never happens again. And I thank you, Josefina, for taking leadership. And we're not supposed to respond to public comment. Just a reminder to everybody, last year about this time, I committed to Elise that I would commit up through August of this year. And that's my current commitment to the board. I'm open for future conversations, but that was the commitment I made about a year ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Other board comment?
Maybe if I could say a couple of things. I just want to echo what many have said about appreciating how you started this meeting, Josefina, and how you started your term as president of, as chair of this board. And just for everybody's information, she has probably attended or chaired dozens of meetings in the month since she became president, multiple committee meetings that hadn't met in a long time, like the Equity Committee met. The Finance Committee has met a couple of times, the Advancement Committee. And so she's really just hit the ground running. And I want to really appreciate you for that, Josefina. And also hope that we can put this question of the committees on the agenda for June. I need somebody else to be on the COSATS committee. So I'm officially putting out a request for volunteers. And, you know, I would like to also volunteer for the bylaws committee, governance committee, and then I think, it'd be good to just do a check-in on all the other committees and which ones are active and who's on which ones and do some recruitment. So thank you.
Thank you, Weiling. Any other? Yes, Jason?
Sorry, I can't figure out how to raise my hand electronically. I apologize. But also, I'd like to echo the comments that Weiling made, as well as some of the comments I see in chat. I think since the time that you've taken on the lead of chairing, the role of chairing the board, I've seen lots of activity. I've seen the board becoming more involved. I like the culture that we're moving toward, and also the focus on equity that we all know is long overdue in terms of us making a lot of progress. So thank you for all of the work that you're doing. And it's on top of a very busy professional schedule, I'm sure that you have. So I want to appreciate that. Also, I'd like to volunteer for the bylaws subcommittee. So I'm not sure what the process is to sign up, but or if that's it, let me know. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Jason. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move this item. We're going to move to the next item, which is nomination and election of board vice chair.
So I'd like
go ahead,
to nominate Dwayne Walton for vice chair.
I'd like to second that.
Great. Board discussion.
Well, that'll teach him to miss a meeting.
Well, I did speak with him.
I know, I'm kidding.
He is interested in doing it.
I know.
We have it on tape, Mike. We're holding him to it.
So noted.
So any other board discussion on this item? We can call the vote. No? Okay, well, let's call the vote then. Adrian? Not here. Mike?
I fully support Dwayne in that role, but I'm going to abstain again because my current commitment is through August and this will continue beyond that. So completely supportive. So I will abstain. Thank you.
Steve?
Well, I'm supportive of that as well, but I also only committed through August, but I still want to vote yes for Dwayne.
Great. Thank you. Jonathan? Not here.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm voting yes. Yes.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
Okay. Weiling?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Great. And I vote yes as well.
And rather than being upstaged by Steve Borg, I will change my vote to a yes. I completely support Dwayne.
Excellent. So hearing that, the motion carries and Dwayne is the new vice chair of this board. So we're going to move on to the consent agenda. So we need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Steve. Any discussion? Okay, hearing that there is none, then let's do the roll call vote again. Adrian? Not here. Mike?
Yes.
Yes. Steve?
Yes.
Thank you. Jonathan?
Yes.
Thank you. Weiling?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason?
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne? Absent. My vote is yes. So the consent agenda is also approved. So let's move on to the next agenda item. We have the LCAP hearing, the draft LCAP hearing. I think, Mr. Oz, you're going to do that one.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know who has the slideshow. David? Oh, there we go. How's everyone doing? Thank you for being here on a Saturday. I'm not going to repeat what others have said, though I am in agreement, but just to say this feels good after a lot of challenging meetings, which are, I'm in support of the challenge, and I also appreciate when we get a little bit of resolve and can have a moment of some clear communication. It feels great. LCAP, what is it? Why is it important? Next slide, please. I'm going to give you a brief overview. I believe you guys are voting in June, so today is intended to create the access point for everyone to be able to see the draft as it's evolving and be able to provide feedback prior to the voting that will occur in June. LCAP is one of several compliance documents that we submit. I wanna make a point on this though. I think a mistake or an area of growth, I should say, for OSA over the years has been, we have all these various compliance documents, the most important one being the charter, WASC falls into that. LCAP falls into that, and they don't always fully align. And we found ourselves over time, sometimes in a scramble, trying to figure out how to approach these documents just prior to deadline. We're trying to move past that so that all of these documents align. And as we're thinking, we're 4 years from now, we're up for charter renewal. We need all of our documents to align and for our monitoring of these documents, the progress monitoring of them to be done really thoughtfully. So when we're up for charter renewal, we're not trying to figure it out in that last year. We already have everything in place. So I share that as a preface just to say LCAP will become part of that. And what I'm going to share with you today is representative of what we've learned through the WASC process. So it's a public review, as I shared. You guys will all be able to provide your input. There's a process for doing so. And then the vote will occur in June. Next slide, please. The documents that were shared with the board, there was a budget overview, which is a snapshot of how the LCAP money is spent. 400 some odd thousand dollars of, you know, the 10 point whatever total dollars that the school has. There's an annual update provided to you. You'll see that the update from last year's LCAP, a lot of the goals we had set for ourselves were based on SBAC, which has not occurred last year and is not occurring this year. So fortunately, we've put in our MDTP testing and our SRI testing, and we have our internal metrics. As I'm addressing, you know, whether those goals were met, we got to get creative in what that looks like because we don't have the data that we were actually calling for. You'll also see a lot of information around CTE. A lot of our goals were set towards CTE last year. And I just want to share from an inside standpoint, we've far exceeded those goals. And a lot of that is the work of Dr. Dolores Thompson as she's stepping in to the full role of pathway coordinator. And there's been a lot of growth in that regard. So the LCAP that's being drafted and voted for June will be the goals for moving forward to the future. Go ahead, David. Little terminology, I apologize for some of you, this is just second nature. For others, you might not know, but these acronyms come up quite a bit. Unduplicated pupil percentage, the students that fall into certain categories, we do receive extra funding for. They're referred to as unduplicated because if they fall into multiple groups, you don't receive duplicated funding for each of those groups. You get funding once for each of those students. LEA means your local educational agency. For us, that's OSA, we're a school district of one. And then the LCFF is our local control funding formula. Within these, there's different grants. There's the base grant, which is, you know, as we look at average daily attendance and we are able to see how much money we get per pupil based on that. Then there's the supplemental that is based on the unduplicated pupil percentage that I shared before, and concentration grant, which is specific to schools with a really high UPP percentage. So the first bullet point here is just kind of reiterating what I had shared. We need to have all these aligned. We need to make it so we all have very clear goals that we're looking at continuously over time, that students are aware of, that parents are aware of, that our board is aware of, that our teachers are aware of, and that in each of these accountability documents, there's consistency. So we've taken a lot of input from surveys, emails, town halls, et cetera, but really the greatest tool in determining the goals that are going to be used has been this WASC process, which it's amazing how an organization can come into your school and within 4 or 5 days really get a clear picture. They were in agreement ultimately of the goals that we established for ourselves and added to more, which are, in my opinion, totally appropriate. So as we move forward here, I'll share with you what those goals are. Goal one, the staff and administration will develop a plan based on data to ensure rigorous curriculum and quality instruction that challenges all students. Goal two, the school will continue to integrate the CTE pathway model program with their existing academic and arts programs to prepare students for college and career readiness. I want to pause on this one for a sec. We're ahead of the curve here, and it's a few years that have been put in that we did not quite realize that we were positioning ourselves so well to be ahead of the curve. We're recognized as a model school at the state level for CTE, for arts, media, and entertainment. We're receiving substantial funding through our CTE development, well over $1 million in the past 3 years, if you were to combine it all. So it's really nice to be in this position right now where now it's being recognized by our accreditation process that this is an area that's not only of strength, but something that we should continue to pursue. There's a strong foundation there. The site administration will provide additional resource allocation towards social emotional supports for students and families to address the health and wellness of our students. Utmost importance as we're returning back to in-person instruction in a, I can't say post-COVID because it's not, but after a remote learning 14 months, there's many unknowns ahead. And so to have this be named and called out and be prioritized in our budgeting is very important. The faculty, staff, and administration will embed culturally responsive practices within the organization, thereby promoting equity, inclusivity, and strengthening a sense of identity throughout the school. I'm sure there are no arguments here. And as we presented yesterday to the Board of Students of Color on all the work that's in place for next school year, it's exciting to see just how this work, the shared leadership model of the school with 13 different school leaders all kind of taking on different realms of this on making sure that it's embedded in all angles of the school. The administration and staff will develop and utilize a school-wide systematic assessment plan to collect, analyze, and interpret the data needed to make decisions about curriculum, teaching practices, professional development, and program effectiveness. So when you are reviewing the LCAP, you should, the lens I ask you to use is to ensure that our spending is aligned with these five goals. These are the WASC goals, and they're going to come up continuously in our accountability documents over the coming years. So next step is to get into the detail level for us on the budget development, on how we're spending this allocated money in alignment with those goals. For you guys to read it in more detail as this happens, and for not just board, but all people here and parents, students to provide input or feedback. And I believe the next slide gives a little overview on how to do that. That's where you can find the documents. Like I shared, some are very much in draft mode right now. It has been a very busy year and a lot of things are in process right now. So we're getting there. And then there's the community input form access right there. And that's it.
Thank you for that. So let's go to public comment and then we'll go to the board comment. So if anyone's interested in making public comment, please either use the raise your hand function or put your name in the chat. Let's see, I see Karen. You're first up.
Hi, yes. Again, my name is Karen Morfin. I just wanted to see how can the community give direct feedback regarding the drafted LCAP? And one, I wanted to offer the APT meetings as well. I know you usually do it in a town hall. That's usually in the morning. I'm pretty sure everyone here that's part of the APT board would be more than willing to facilitate one as well. That's during our APT meeting. So that's as far as community feedback. And two, I also wanted to see if when we're having these agendized items, I know it was on the accountability website, but if we can also put it in the space for the agenda. So because if I wanted to review what you were going to present, Mike, I honestly couldn't even find it. So maybe as we move forward with the things that are going to be discussed in the agenda, including, you know, the principal's report and the ED report when it's applicable, that they're also included just like any other board meetings. Thank you.
I'd love to join the APT meeting on the topic and note it on the other point as well, Karen. Thanks.
Okay. Maury?
I think just getting some tighter information on how to access and use that form and the time frame. I think this was like a 300 page plus report. So I do want to acknowledge all the hard work. And I know that Julie Humphreys reached out to the APT for some impact on the parent engagement section. So I want to say, first of all, that was really appreciated, the reach out. Unfortunately, when we read it, we didn't see our suggested language in the report. So hoping that those reach outs will result in a different kind of result in the future. But again, want to let you all know that in the middle of COVID, in the middle of everything else, I know everybody did hard work on this. And so I want to acknowledge that as well.
Thank you for that. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing that there is none, we'll go ahead to the board comment. Are there any questions, comments?
Mike? Yeah, Sophia, just a quick logistical reminder to Mike and the team that when we bring this forward for approval in June, it needs to be approved before we approve the budget. It can be in the same meeting, but it has to come before it on the agenda. That's one of the CDE requirements around LCAP approval. Just to note that. And then the other thing, and this came up at Finance Committee yesterday, not an urgent action item, but you know, we've historically had a very low free reduced lunch percentage. And Mike showed a slide a few minutes ago about unduplicated pupil count and some of those kinds of things. It would be interesting to see if there was any movement in that with this year's non-audition based incoming sixth graders, whether that moved the percentage at all. And I don't know if, I'm trying to figure out whether we would ever get to a point where we would hit the 55% threshold, which triggers a bunch of sort of other funding streams. So that's that was mentioned yesterday as part of Finance Committee. Mike, if you know that already and can respond, that's great.
I know that it will likely go up, like very likely. We don't know how much.
Yeah.
I want to remind people, and I know I've said it in this forum in the past, the way our charter was written was to prioritize students that were zoned for Title I schools. Yeah. We made a shift in that, and I did this working with the district right beforehand, because the way that's written is not actually going to do what we were intending to do. Anyone can live in a zone for a Title I school and send their kid to private school. That's not solving the issue we're trying to solve. So we did switch that and made sure that it's students that are actively attending Title I schools where there's at least 40% free and reduced lunch. Roughly off the top of my head, I think 70% of our incoming sixth graders are coming from schools where there was at least 40% free and reduced lunch. Okay. We don't know if they're of that 40% or if they're of, there's no way of knowing until they join us and we go and we get everyone in the system. But I suspect it's going to be an increase. It's going to take years to see that trickle through each of the grades, but hitting 55% is not out of the question. It's just going to, next year will be a strong indicator of what that'll look like over time.
Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate that. The other thing I'd be interested in tracking over time is, for lack of a better word, retention of those kids that didn't come through an audition. I know you guys are thinking about that, but you know, it's kind of different. We're bringing kids in that maybe haven't had some of the you know experience before sixth grade that we've historically had. So I'd be interested to keep an eye on that. I'm getting a little off topic. Sorry, Mike.
Okay. Any other board comment feedback? Questions? Okay. Well, I think also if the board could be informed of the schedule for the other public meetings on the LCAP, that would be really helpful because I think some board members might want to pop into those as well. All right, so we'll go ahead and move this item then. Let's go to the next item, the draft budget presentation. I think we have CSMC and Kimberly.
Hello, everybody. Thank you to students and parents and staff members and the board and everyone for taking time out to meet with us today. So just two slides that we're going to go through today. Just our current projections of where we would end the year in terms of our revenue and our expenses. So we have the budget that was adopted in June of last year is reflected for the 2021 adopted budget. And then taking account our spending throughout the year, grant funding that we receive, PPP forgiveness shows where we are likely to end the year, and that's with the surplus. And again, these are just projections. Of course, there will probably still be some movement. So not exact numbers, but pretty close to where we indicate ending the year. Okay, next slide. And these are our current 21-22 projections. And some things that again are included in this model, the 3% that was union approved, plus the step increase for those staff members. It includes the JEDI coordinator position, Step It Up program expenses, summer programming that we're going to do this year, a mental health counselor position, also grant funding that has offset many of the projected expenses that were already included, recommended raises for admin and staff. And again, this budget still reflects, even though we're in the middle of negotiations and Lisa's working really hard on that, until that ink is dried on that document, we have not reduced the projected contribution that we will have to pay for the Fox rent. So with that contribution, this does also reflect the new May revise numbers for LCFF. but there are other components of the May revise that are still being fleshed out. So there may be some additional supplemental grant funding that the school may receive, but until we get the final numbers for those have not been included. And this does include one-time grant funding from the state. But again, our biggest area of savings will kind of flesh out based on if we receive more grant funding as well as the Fox Rent contribution. So this is where we are right now in this moment. At our next meeting in June, we will do a full budget presentation that includes the final numbers that we've received, hopefully from the May revise, but then also a really deep dive into how these numbers come to be. So we'll talk about what the federal revenue includes. We'll talk about what the state revenue includes, how we get the number for local revenue, what makes up our books and supplies, our operating expenses, just so that there's a clear understanding for the board of how all of those numbers feed into this summary page. But we're going to wait to do that until we have all of the information that we can have for the projection. Any questions? Oh, I'm sorry. So that's it, then public comment.
We're gonna do public comment first and then we'll come back. Thank you, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to stop showing the slide so we can see the chat and our hands up. Okay, let's go to Chris Bradburn.
Thank you. I'm gonna paste into chat what I wanted to say because I'm a little glitchy here. So if I start glitching out, you can read along. All right. So hi, and thank you for being here in another Zoom meeting on a beautiful Saturday. I know I'd like to be outside. I think most everyone knows me. I'm Chris Bradburn. I'm one of the founders of COSATS, as well as one of the teachers most involved in our compensation article. I helped write it. I did nearly all the research we used to justify it, and I presented it at our bargaining session. I mentioned these credentials in hopes that what I say today is truly heard by those of you as you go into closed session. I'd like to start by acknowledging the work being done to retool some of the contracts that OSA has been party to for some time. And I also want to acknowledge that COSATS recognizes that school budgets are complicated and that changing one budget item has a corollary impact on other budget items. I know that there's some good budget news. I'm heartened to hear that the governor has proposed a LCFF COLA this year of 5.07%, which is the highest it's ever been to my knowledge. I'm hopeful that the state's plan to adjust CalSTRS contributions may have a positive impact on OSA's budget. And I'm also hopeful that this board may reconsider its May 2019 decision to maintain a 10% reserve instead of the more typical 3-5% reserve. The argument for the unusually high amount in our reserves is that we're saving it for a rainy day. I would argue that the rainy day has been here for a while. In our bargaining sessions, there's been general agreement that teacher and staff salaries are too low, and I appreciate that school leadership has not tried to pretend otherwise. I'm concerned that in response to COSAT's request for living wages, we've repeatedly been given a sort of lesson about how budgets work. I think the goal with these budget lessons is to help the staff understand how raising wages will impact other parts of the budget. And here's the thing. Teachers really don't need a lesson about budgets. We're very well schooled in the challenge of balancing a budget with limited income. While I recognize that for OSA, raising teacher salaries destabilizes the budget, for years, OSA had depended on underpaying staff to keep the budget balanced. I'm also a parent at OSA. Each year, my partner and I are asked to make a donation of around $2,500 for the annual fund. We do our best, but that's really out of our budget. The thing is, if I were to work for another school district, let's say Emory Unified, the lowest paying district in Alameda County, with my years of experience and education credits, I would be earning about $13,000 more than I earn at OSA. If I worked at Hayward, the highest paying district, the difference would be about $42,500. This is true for pretty much every other credentialed teacher, you know, depending on their years of experience. One way to look at the monetary difference between what OSA pays us to what other districts would pay for the same labor is that it is the surplus value of our labor. Looking at it that way, it's clear that OSA has come to depend on this surplus value of labor to balance its books. So while I'm only able to afford a $500 contribution to the annual fund, if you include surplus labor value, my annual donation next year will be more like $13,500 or $43,000 a year. I recognize that an across-the-board increase in wages will be a huge expenditure, something like $800,000 or so. Please understand that this $800,000 expense is already part of OSA's operational expenses. The cost has just been distributed among the staff in the form of sub-market wages and donated labor. I would argue that one of OSA's biggest donors is currently our staff, who keep working here in spite of the harm being done to our financial health. We do it because we love these students, we love this community, and we love this work. But the reality is that we cannot afford to keep giving such huge donations every year. When you go into your closed session, I'm confident that there will be a discussion about the board's obligation to make fiscally responsible decisions. I respect that. But I hope that you will factor into that conversation your obligation to make ethical, equitable, and socially responsible decisions. I recognize that hard financial decisions need to be made. The staff makes hard financial decisions every day. When we may not be deciding on budgets for salaries and textbooks and facilities and reserves, we are deciding on our own budgets for rent and healthcare and retirement savings and transportation. My point being, we get it. You have some hard decisions to make, and those decisions affect the sustainability of our school. But if the only way for the school to continue operating is to continue balancing the budget on the backs of the staff, then we have a problem far, far greater than the budget. We have a problem with our community's values. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Any other public comment? Okay, let's go to the board comment then. Board questions, comments, feedback. Nope, doesn't look like there's any. So then we will close this item and go into our closed session.
Sorry, Josefina.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
I have a quick question, sorry. Okay. Exactly how did we recognize the PPP monies that came in on that budget? Did we get a loan forgiveness, or are we still carrying it as a loan?
Kimberly, did you want to respond to that?
We did receive loan forgiveness, and it's recognized in our current 2021 budget under other federal revenue.
That's what I thought. Thanks, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get that clarification. So we received. Did we go in for a second round of PPP when that became available?
We're not eligible for a second round under the current standards. No.
Yeah, Jonathan, sorry, I'll piggyback on that. We would have had to have seen a 25% year over year revenue drop, and we did not because state funding stayed stable. The other thing just to note, and for the board's edification, we generally don't get a lot of federal funds. When a nonprofit has more than $750,000 of federal funds in a fiscal year, it requires what's called a single audit, which is a more in-depth, painful sort of colonoscopy type audit, more than we're used to in the past. So just flag that there, nothing new needs to be done. Kimberly and the folks at CSNC run a very tight shop on all that stuff, but audit fees probably go up a little bit this year because we will have exceeded that threshold with the PPP forgiveness that'll get booked in the fiscal year ended June 30th of 21.
All right, thank you, Mike, for that clarification. Any other board questions, comments, feedback? Okay.
I'm sorry, can I just say one more?
Yes.
All of the board members should have received the just a PDF of the slides. So before our June presentation, if you could just take the time to look through what was just presented, and if any questions come to mind before that time, you can just shoot me an email so that I can ensure to take those questions to the finance committee so we can make sure we're answering whatever questions you may have.
Yeah, and those questions should come directly to Kimberly, not in a group email that would trigger some kind of Brown Act violation.
So, yeah.
Sorry, that's me being anal again.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. So we're going to go into closed session now. We will come back out of closed session. Right now that is estimated to be at about 4:55 to report out anything that we can report out. And then we will adjourn the meeting, hopefully close to about 5 o'clock. So thank you everybody. And we may see you when we come back. And for the board members, we sent out a separate, a different link for closed session. So please look at your OSA email if you have not done so already, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Bye-bye, thank you. Okay, welcome back everybody to the general session. Let's do a quick roll call vote. Thank you all for waiting for us to come back. Thank you, David, for keeping this link open. So Mike Barr.
Sorry, what are we voting on, whether to adjourn?
Well, we have to do a roll call first.
I'm here.
Okay, I like the enthusiasm though, Mike.
Yes, Adrian. Okay, Steve.
Here.
Thank you. Jonathan.
Here.
Thank you. Wei-Ling.
Here.
And Jason.
Here.
Great. And I'm here, Josefina. So I just want to report out that the board took action in closed session to authorize Lisa to finalize and sign the lease. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Mike, second. Jason, second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
To that. Okay, great. Seeing all board members voted aye for the adjournment, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Okay, bye-bye.
So, Josefina, sorry. Hang on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We probably should have announced that we tabled one of the closed agenda items, closed session items, for another time, which was the review of the executive director.
All right, so let's just announce that we had to table the last item of our closed session agenda. So we will pick that up in a special meeting.
Sorry, it's fine. Yeah.
No, it's okay. Okay. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Have a nice weekend.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Thank you, David.